think my talk is kind of a complementary talk to all the previous lectures. And I'd like to talk on the response of photosynthetic and transpiration rates on of sorghum for rising atmospheric CO2 concentration under high temperatures. The rationale of this study was, I think, mentioned several times by the previous speakers, especially with regard to the lack of measurements of high temperature in the carbon dioxide together, namely the combined effect of high temperature and carbon dioxide on the productivity of the crop, and our indicator crop was sorghum. Of course, this experiment is, and the data that we collected are very relevant to the prediction of the influence of global warming on biomass production and water use efficiency. The objectives are were to evaluate the combined effect of high CO2 and temperature on photosynthesis, transpiration, and production of sorghum, and we wanted to take a lesson from growth chambers, similar to the lesson from the phase, the T phase, and the CO2 phase experiments, on the expected interactions between climate change and agriculture. The environmental conditions in the growth chambers were as follows. We had six treatments. Two of them were for temperatures, and three of them were for CO2 concentration. Temperatures, high temperatures, run from 35 at night or dark hours to 40 at day or light hours. And the other one was 25 at dark hours and 30 at light hours within the growth chambers. The concentration of the CO2 was 400, 700, and fluctuating between 9 to 1,000 micromole per mole, or ppm, as you wish to look at that. Just some demonstrations of our experimental system. This is a leaf chamber which is closed for 30 seconds, measuring photosynthesis, transpirations, and other physiological and physical components of the response of the plant to the conditions. Here we have the data logger and the infrared gas analyzer, which are all connected to a computer where we collect the data. Some of the results that we have is first 2D interpolation graph of dry matter production under the situation that we measured. So temperature range from the interpolated temperature range from 30 to 40, and CO2 range from 400 to 1,000, and we can clearly see that maximum yield of the sorghum was at what we call, for the rest of our lecture, low temperature at 30 degrees, which is close to the optimal temperature of C4 plants, and high carbon dioxide concentration. The lowest value was, of course, here at high temperature and low carbon dioxide concentration. Preliminary explanation to what we see here can be found in the zinc saturation hypothesis. This represents here the combination of climate change, which is composed of rising CO2 and temperature. together and simultaneously, and the CO2 exchange rate. What we see here, the one curve relates to C3 plants, where it saturated at about 600 ppm, while the respiration rate at higher temperature is exponentially increased until they come to the photosynthetic cutoff, and the productivity process stops. On the other hand, the C4 plant that we tested, the sorghum plant, respiration, of course, is rising farther, but the photosynthesis is rising as well, and we see that around the optimal temperature, we can obtain the larger difference between the largest difference between the respiration and the photosynthetic rate or carbon dioxide exchange rate in order to obtain maximum yield at this point. Now let's see the effect of the concentration at the optimal temperature, say 30 degrees C at, during light time hours and 25 degrees C on the dark hours. What we see here is that the carbon dioxide intake increased gradually from 400 ppm to 700 ppm, and it maximized to at 1,000 ppm. The values, average values, were about 10, 15 at the 700 ppm, and above 20, 25 at the 1,000 ppm. If we go farther, we see the effect of CO2 and temperature on the transpiration rate. This is just, as we see here, is just a mirror photo, I would call it, of the previous slides when we measured the carbon dioxide or the biomass production of the sorghum. Here we see that maximum transpiration was obtained at, for the x-axis is the range from 30 to 40, and the maximum photosynthetic transpiration was at 40 degrees C, while the minimum was at 30 degrees C. And the values here are ranging between 25 milligram per meter square per second up to 50 milligram per meter square per second. And in our experiment, it corresponded to, or 100 milligram corresponded to 5 millimeter per 14 hours of daylight hours. So then the ratio, of course, between the biomass production, the weight of the sorghum to the transpiration, in terms of millimeters per day, is given here as the water use efficiency in kilogram dry matter per millimeter of water used. What we see here is that the best or the maximal water use efficiency was obtained at the low temperature and the highest carbon dioxide concentration. Namely, it is possible that the rising of carbon dioxide in the air while maintaining acceptable air temperature may improve the water use efficiency. On the other end, we see that at 400 ppm and high temperature, the water use efficiency was very low. So what counts here is the ratio between, or the interplay between the rising temperature and the rising CO2 and the rising temperature. It cannot be given as a one and unique solution. Coming to the end of the talk, and giving some concluding remarks, first, the results show increase in photosynthesis with elevated CO2 from 400 to 1,000 micromole per mole, but it should be mentioned that it was on the optimal temperature. It was not the case at 40 degrees C. Second, the results clearly describe the large inhibition of net CO2 uptake with increasing temperature. Then, highest transpiration was measured at 40 degrees, namely increase of or rising the temperature may be associated and probably will be associated with increase of of transpiration, which means more water requirements. And finally, water use efficiency may be improved with elevated CO2, provided that the process is not associated with elevated or severe elevated temperature. With this last note, I thank you for your attention, and I will be happy to entertain questions if there are. Thank you very much.
We have 2 minutes for questions, if there are questions. If there aren't any questions, then you don't have any. Bruce,
yeah.
Your irrigation regime, your water regime.
We had TDR, and we tried to keep the water content at, let's say, optimal level. I can say 2 liters per day per plant, something like that. It was in small pots. The whole experiment was taken in small pots. So water was not a limiting factor to our feeling. We also took measurements of canopy temperature simultaneously and other parameters which indicated that there was no water limiting conditions. Yeah.
I think it's a highly interesting set again of data, but then my question is, will those again be involved in sort of kind of modeling? Where we can combine Bolberry and the Farquhar.
Actually, we did Bolberry and Farquhar measurements and modeling, but we cannot put them all at once. But we are doing it, certainly. That's very well taken, and I think part of the modeling work that we are doing, and we hope to improve it, is through the DSAT, the model, which is a simulation model for crop yield, or which is, yeah, go ahead.
I think I would like to invite you to my talk on Thursday, because we use there the DAISY model, where we have introduced the Bolberry, Farquhar, and sun and shade leaves,
yeah,
where we have this complex model taking
into account. I take the challenge. Let's talk afterward.
We need a lot of good data for this kind of modeling, so I'm very interested.
Yeah, we have a complete set of data to maintain the requirements of Bolberry and Farquhar modeling. That's for sure.
Is it 6400 to parameterize for the Farquhar model?
6400?
Well, I work the photosynthetic canopy gas analyzer that lights for ourselves, you know, parameterizing that model.
It may, but I.
The data from the grow chambers?
I don't know. It may be, but I think we have enough data to calculate the canopy conductance and so on and so forth.
Huh?
Yeah.
Because you can get sub-ambient CO2 with that.
That's right, and we have also ambient and the outgoing CO2 concentration. So we can do, actually we did.